Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This episode has been sponsored by Generation UCAN. More about our sponsor later on in the show. You're listening to episode 201 of the Marathon Running Podcast. In this episode, we're going to talk about tapering. This is the Marathon Running Podcast by Letty and Ryan from We Got the Runs. Join us in our running community for weekly content that is motivational, educational, and inspirational, and let the Marathon Running Podcast take you from the starting line to the finish line and beyond. Hey runners, and welcome back to another episode of the Marathon Running Podcast. My name is Letty.
My name is Ryan.
And we are your weekly hosts. Thank you for tuning in again. If you're watching us on YouTube by now, at this point, we've probably had 3 or 4 episodes dropping. Or if you're just listening, welcome back.
And 3 or 4 watchers.
3 or 4 watchers. No, we have more than that. Maybe 5. Anyway, how are you doing today, Ryan?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, I'm excited to wrap up yet another partial training cycle because Boston and the other spring marathons are on the horizon. So I thought maybe tapering would be a good episode to talk about again. I know we've talked about it in the past, but it's always kind of nice to have some fresh information from a different coach.
Everything will resonate differently with different people.
Yes. And so we have actually asked head coach Nicole from the Marathon Training Academy to come on and be our guest. The Marathon Training Academy has a podcast, and that was one of the first podcasts I've listened to ever since I knew what a podcast was. The very first one was Serial, which was the story of Adnan Syed, where, you know, it was about a wrongful conviction. And I listened to the entire podcast series while I was driving from California to Florida in 2016. And shortly after that, I found the Marathon Training Academy and have been a, you know, loyal listener since. So super excited. They've had Coach Nicole on a couple of times before. And when they said that she could come on and talk to me, I was very happy.
Yeah, that's great that they give us some of their time and expertise.
Yeah.
What's one of your favorite episodes of theirs?
I personally love their race recaps.
The race recap. You are a race recap person.
I don't know. It just kind of puts you, if they paint the picture right, I feel like it puts you in the moment with them. And you don't even have to watch it on YouTube. You can just like literally feel like you're there with them. And that goes, you know, literally to any race recaps. That's what I'm trying to do with my race recaps. And hopefully do so. Yeah, but I really like those.
So anyone that doesn't know them should look them up and maybe check out a race recap to see if they like it.
Yes, absolutely. So Ryan, talking about podcasts, what's one of your favorite podcasts to listen to while you're running since you've been running more lately?
Progression Project.
What is that?
Foiling.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, you asked.
Yeah, true. So Ryan likes to do water sports, so it's a water sport related one. But I mean, I guess I don't have any room to talk. I'm sitting here talking about true crimes and murders and Dateline NBC and all that stuff.
Yeah, everything's fun. I mean, especially when you're running, you know, keeping your mind off of, you know, maybe a distance or so, it will go by without you even noticing. Whatever entertains you. I don't have to listen to our podcast because I hear them.
I never listen to ours, but I'm always looking for some. So if you listeners have any suggestions, they don't have to be running podcasts. You know, anything you listen to, let us know, share it in the comments or send us a message via Instagram. We're super interested in hearing, you know, anything to get Ryan away. And I mean, anything to get me Ryan away.
What are you trying to do?
That sounded wrong. Anything to kind of broaden our horizon when it comes to, you know, listening to new stuff to keep our runs entertaining.
Yes, for sure. We should maybe do an episode on that at some point of like the top types of podcasts or types of things to listen to while you're running.
Yeah, it'd be great. I mean,
to find an expert.
I listen to music when I have workouts. When I'm trying to run faster, I like that beat. But if I'm just going easy, it helps me to just listen to people speak. And obviously, the majority of our running is done at a, you know, 80% slow. And so that's what we do.
Yeah, I haven't really, a lot of times I just run without anything. But I mean, I should do some, like, I like your idea of podcasts or books. Audiobooks or things like that. A lot of that just kind of can entertain you and distract you from the running, which is not always like running is not always bad, but it's kind of nice if you're distracted sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyhow, so are you ready to hop into today's episode?
Let's do it.
All right. So without any further ado, we're now going to play our episode with Coach Nicole. Nicole, thank you so much for joining me.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Yeah. So to start out with, let's talk a little bit about you and your background. You are a coach at the Marathon Training Academy, and maybe tell us how you got into run coaching and how you ended up at the Marathon Training Academy.
Well, I, in a previous occupation, I was a nurse and I did that for several years. And then I started getting really into fitness and running and just really jumped right into it and got really almost obsessed with it and learning everything about running and physiology and just everything to do with that. So I made a career change and I decided to become a personal trainer and a run coach. And that was about 12 years ago I started doing that. And, you know, I was kind of working at a gym, and then I even worked as an assistant coach at a college for track and cross country. Really like that. And then just because of scheduling and wanting more of a flexible schedule, I've just decided to do more coaching on my own. And then I got hired by Marathon Training Academy. And luckily, they're a great company that they find your clients for you and your runners. And they handle all the money and all the stuff that coaches don't like to do. And worked for them for a few years. And then Trevor and Angie asked me to come on as their head coach, which means that I kind of manage the rest of the coaches and all the coaching clients that come to us. And it's been a really good transition to have a head coach on our team, because now we can, you know, schedule coaching consultation calls. So if people are interested in coaching, they can have a conversation with me before they even sign up. And we can find out a little bit more about them, what their goals are. And then when they do sign up, I know the perfect coach for them already, because we have like 14 coaches on our team and they all have really different specialties and different clients that are best for them. So I'm able to kind of be the matchmaker and put them with a coach that I think is best for them. And it's been a really great transition for Marathon Training Academy that we have this, that, you know, Trevor and Angie can focus more on the podcast and I can focus on getting their coaching clients set up and happy.
I like that. And, you know, that's basically half the battle, right? It's always hard to find a good coach that matches you, because there's a ton of great coaches out there. That doesn't mean necessarily that they're a good coach for you. So what kind of criteria do you usually look at when you have a person that's looking for a coach? What makes somebody match well with a coach?
I always ask them, you know, sort of like what their background is with running. I find that some people who have been runners for a long time, they have some preconceived notions sometimes about how they should be training. And so they bring a lot that into the coaching relationship. And that can be a little difficult to navigate. So when I talk to them on the phone, I do introduce the concept of trusting the process and trusting your coach. And they've come to us because they probably reached a point where they're in some type of plateau, or they have a goal that they haven't been able to reach. So by trusting their coach and giving their training over to their coach, they become more of a better coaching client, and they're more chance of success. So that will be a specific coach that I'll put, person like that, maybe, you know, a coach that just works with that kind of client better. And then I love when we get people that are new to running. Those are the favorite people to work with, right? Because I talk to them and they don't know a lot about, you know, how much fueling they should have and what they should be eating and how many miles they should run per week and how to do a speed workout. They don't know any of that. And that's wonderful, because then I can put them with a coach that works great with beginners and can really explain everything to them. And they're going to trust their coach completely because they don't have all those other ideas. So, you know, it depends on their goals. It depends on, sometimes it depends on the speed, obviously, that they run. So if I have someone that comes to us, you know, who wants to run a sub 3-hour marathon, that's going to be a different coach than someone who runs a 5-hour marathon. So, you know, and then I have a lot of people that come to us that are injury prone, or maybe are coming back to running after being off for a long time. And I'll put them with one of my coaches that have a, more of a background in personal training, or something like that, that they can really structure a good strength program as well as a running program for them as well.
I love it. Sounds like a match made in heaven. And with that, I want to hop into today's topic. Today, we're going to talk about tapering. Obviously, tapering, you know, it's not one size fits all. There's a lot of variables to tapering. But in general, how long should a taper period be for marathon runners? And what could influence that duration of such taper?
So generally, it's between 2 and 3 weeks before your event. So it starts after your last longest run. So for a lot of people in marathon training, that is anywhere from, you know, 18 to 22 miles, depending on what program you're doing. If you're working with a coach, they might have a specific mileage they want you to do for that last long run. So that's most programs, it is 3 weeks, and that's usually a good amount of time. So 21 days before your event, that's when the taper begins. And your body is very depleted at that point because you've done all these long runs, you've been working really hard over sometimes 16 weeks of really hard training. And so that's the time to back off. Now, if you're a more experienced runner and you've done a lot of marathons, sometimes you can get away with 2 weeks. But I prefer as a coach to, you know, extend it to 3 weeks. That gives a lot more time for your body to really recover from that hard training. And it's not only your body, honestly, you have a mental fatigue sometimes after you've been training for 16 weeks. And it's good to kind of take a step back and kind of, you know, have less runs on your schedule, less mileage, and you can kind of, you know, just regroup and get ready for your event and be mentally ready as well as physically.
Okay, perfect. And so then for the fearful souls listening to this podcast, let's talk about how long it takes to lose fitness and why 2 to 3 weeks is still, you know, falling within that where you can run a good marathon.
Yeah, so you're not going to lose fitness because you're not going to stop running completely, right? So we're going to still have you do some running. We don't want you to stop completely. We just want you to do a good back off of what you've been doing. So usually, you know, if you're doing 3 weeks, then 2 weeks before your race, you're going to back off your mileage, probably a decrease of about 25% of the total mileage. Your long run is going to be less for sure. So if you've done a 20-mile run 3 weeks before, 2 weeks before, often you'll do somewhere between 12 and 14 miles for that long run. And that's quite a big decrease. And then the week before your marathon, you may run maybe 8 miles, you know, for that long run. So everything's going to be decreased. You're not going to stop running because we don't want that to happen either. We still want you to, your body to stay sharp. We still want your body to know how to run. Because after, you know, you can lose fitness probably after 2 weeks of no running or no activity, right? That's when you really start to lose your fitness. But by just backing off, you're actually really making the chance of you reaching your goal so much higher because you are letting your body really absorb all that hard training and recover and be ready to go on that day. And by not backing off, your body's not going to be ready for it. You're going to be overdone. And I would rather that you are undertrained than overtrained going into that marathon, you know, so everything is healed up nicely. All those little muscle tears that have happened over those long runs, those are all repaired and recovered, and you're ready to go.
Yeah. So thanks for elaborating on that. So it's the muscles that repair themselves. That's what we're looking for. The muscle tissue repairing itself. And then the mental fatigue, is there anything else that like physiologically happens within our body when we are in that taper phase?
Also, you know, your enzymes, your hormones, everything's going to kind of stabilize. Everything that's been kind of disrupted through your hard training, as well as you're also building your glycogen stores within your body, because that's what we use for marathon running and for any endurance long events. You need those glycogen stores in your body to burn during your marathon. So, you know, you're not only paying attention to backing off from your running mileage, you're also really taking care of your body in all ways. So you're really looking at your nutrition. You're making sure that you're still eating regularly. You may not be as hungry, so you may not think that you have to eat as much, but you really want to keep on eating all that quality food, quality carbohydrates, you know, those complex carbohydrates that you've been eating during your training, hopefully. And you're really taking care of all that and just prepping your body for a good performance. You're also, I really focus with my clients to make sure that they're thinking about not only nutrition, but they're thinking about their sleep. They're thinking about really good rest in those couple of weeks before. You don't want to have like a big work project or go on vacation with your family at Disneyland or anything like that, you know, right before a race, because you're just going to tire yourself out. So, you know, it's really a time to almost get into a little cocoon and get ready to go, you know, and just focus on yourself. Okay. So the purpose of your taper is to re-energize you physically and mentally. So you're going to take that time to really take a step back and be ready for your event, and try not to jeopardize that by putting too much on your schedule. You're going to have a lot of extra energy because you're not running as much, and you're going to be tempted to maybe put too much on your schedule, you know, to stay up too late at night, to start cleaning your house too much, those kind of things. Just take a step back and remember the purpose of your taper. It is really just to rest and recover and be ready.
Okay, perfect. Thanks for talking about all that. And I'm going to love to jump into nutrition and sleep here in a little bit. But before we talk about that, we talked about a reduction of mileage, and you were saying approximately 25% for the first week. And then what about the intensity of the mileage, and how would you treat the second week?
Right. So that second week, you're going to probably decrease it by another 25%. So a total of 50% from when you were doing that last long run of runs. Of course, it's going to vary for every person, right? So if you are injury prone, maybe you've got little niggles, something's happening that maybe you don't feel 100%, you may want to even back off more. And that is okay, because you're not, like I said, you're not going to lose your fitness completely. And that might be what you need. Sometimes when I've had clients that maybe they're not 100% when they've done that last long run, they've maybe finished and they're really hurting or there's something going on, you know, I'll just incorporate some cross training in their running, in their schedule for the last couple of weeks, just to make sure that we're not going to, you know, make a potential injury actually materialize. So we're going to be really careful with that. So it's really going to vary depending on the person. But, you know, by the time you get to that second week, you're decreasing your mileage by about 50%. And then that last week, the marathon week, that is going to be a pretty light week in the days leading up to the marathon, right? So you may do, you know, say, if you normally do a 6 mile run on Monday, you may do a 4 mile run, that kind of thing. And I know when I make schedules for people, I still like to give them a little bit, not necessarily speed work, but something that is a little faster than just easy pace. So that Monday or Tuesday, I often give the person the workout of a 4 mile run with the 2 miles in the middle as marathon pace. So dial in that marathon pace that you're planning for your race on the weekend. just to see how that feels. It should feel really easy by that week because you've done all that tapering, you're feeling really good. And then when you're ready to run your race, you know what that pace is going to feel like exactly, right? And then, then maybe another day that you run, you'll do another easy run. And sometimes, maybe do a few strides at the end, just to kind of give a little pep in your step, just to kind of do a little turnover with your legs. That might feel good. But the rest of the week, you're just going to be keeping it pretty easy at home. You're going to be making sure that you're eating regularly, hydrating regularly. And then a lot of people have to travel to a race, right? So if you've got a race on a Sunday, you may be traveling on Friday. So that is the day that, you're not going to probably do any kind of workout on that Friday. It's going to be a day of rest. You may be on an airplane, you may be in a car, all those kind of things. You just want to be making sure that you're still moving and, your legs still get a little bit of movement because you don't want to get too sore from sitting too much. And then the day before the marathon, sometimes I will tell people to do a shakeout run, but it really depends on the person if I feel like they need it. So, if you've traveled the day before, sometimes it is good to get out for like a 20-minute, easy jog the day before a race. And then do a couple strides at the end, and then you feel like you're ready, right? And then go back to your hotel room, put your feet up, and be ready to run the race.
Interesting. Yeah, it's interesting to see, who would you gauge is in need of a shakeout run versus who doesn't need one? And what is that shakeout run really for?
Often it's people that do have a big goal. They're going to be running maybe a faster pace during the race. I really want to make sure that their legs don't get, with the lack of a better word, stale, or you just still want to have some movement there, right? Some blood moving. And so I know for me, if I have a big race and I want to do well in the race, I do like to do something the day before. I just feel better. I feel like I need to move my body. I need to be outside sometimes, just in fresh air too. I think that helps. Kind of get those little nerves out too can be helpful. If I have someone that it's their first marathon and, they've struggled a little bit in the last few weeks, they're feeling a bit tired, you're not sure about this, I won't have them run. I will maybe say, go for a walk, but then the rest of the day, I just want you resting. They don't really need that. If they're not going for a big goal, they just want to finish the race. That's a whole different way of looking at the race itself. And I want them to rest as much as possible.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
At this time, we want to thank our sponsor, UCAN. Are you tired of a spike and crash and GI distress that comes with the sugar-based sports nutrition? It's time to give UCAN a try. UCAN uses steady-release carbs instead of sugars, so you don't feel the highs and the lows in energy. UCAN powders, gels, and bars are powered by Life Steady, a patent starch-based carbohydrate that was originally developed as a medical food to help children maintain stable blood sugar throughout the night. It's backed by science and truly unique in energy source. Clinically proven to help blood sugar stable during exercise, Live Steady supports sustained performance and optimal energy levels. I've tried UCAN now for the past couple of months and I've been happy with my long runs and how I feel. Also, they don't taste bad, and after mile 15, I can still stomach them. Top marathon runners in the US, including Emily Sisson, Sarah Hall, Emma Bates, and Kara D'Amato, all use UCAN for fuelings. So why shouldn't you give them a try? Especially because Marathon Running podcast listeners have a chance to try 4 gels for free. All you pay for is the cost of shipping. So head over to youcan.co/MRP, which, by the way, stands for Marathon Running Podcast, to claim this offer and get your free samples. If you are already using YouCan and you want that 20% discount, you can just go to youcan.co and save those 20% with code MRP. We're also having all this linked in our show notes. And now back to the show.
Okay, perfect. Thanks for explaining that. And let's talk a little bit about strength training for those runners that you recommended strength training to and that have been doing it. When, at what point do you tell them to stop doing strength training?
So when you were starting your taper, you're definitely going to back off on your strength training. I'm okay with that. You know, that 2 weeks before, if you do some strength training, maybe not as heavy as you've been lifting. If you've been doing heavy lifting, you know, back off a bit on that. And then the week before, I just say no more strength training. Let's just back off from that. If you want to do anything at all, I will incorporate some mobility exercises, some core, just that kind of thing that may be helpful. But there's no heavy lifting. There's no picking up any big barbells or dumbbells or anything like that. You're not going to gain anything by building muscle at that point. You're really, like I said, trying to get those muscles to be recovered. So you don't want to, you know, be pushing it with the strength training at that stage.
Okay, perfect. So now let's hop into nutrition a little bit more. Obviously, we all know nutrition is important. We do our best as we train for the marathon, and then taper time comes. Our appetite is probably still at a high level if we've been running a lot of miles, but then we're obviously not burning as many calories. Can you talk about nutrition during taper a little bit and also potential weight gain during that time?
Right. So you're still going to feel a bit hungry, especially right after that long run, that 20-mile run for a couple of days. I know my engine's still burning and I feel like I could eat everything that I have in my house. Go ahead. Just your body needs that. Your body is asking for that. So just go ahead. As long as you're eating healthy foods, I don't want you to go out and, you know, eat a bag of chips and, you know, and drink soda and those types of things. But, you know, eat some healthy foods, eat some good quality foods, nutrition. Your body is asking for it. Don't back off too much on your calories, on your carbohydrates, all of that kind of thing. Really be focused on that last couple of weeks on fueling your body, even with less running. And it can be hard because you will gain a little bit of weight, but we want you to gain a little bit of weight. We want you to have a little bit of reserve there in your body. And don't even get on the scale. Just stay away from the scale. I think that's a good lesson right there. There's no point in looking at the scale in those last 2 weeks, right? It's okay if you gain a little bit of weight. It's not going to stay there forever. Your body needs it. Your body is asking for it. So, you know, as long as you're eating quality foods, it's all good. I always tell people in that last week, especially when you're looking at what you're eating, I don't really believe necessarily in carb loading, but I believe in really having a focus on good carbs in the last few days before your marathon. You do want to have some type of carb load inside your body because that's what we fuel our bodies with in endurance events, right? So, you know, when you're looking at your plate, you really want to see that there's some good carbohydrates in every meal that you're eating. And that doesn't mean necessarily pasta. It doesn't necessarily mean a lot of bread. It means, you know, complex carbohydrates. It could be, you know, lots of plants and vegetables. Those are good too. And then usually, you know, the day before a marathon, I really encourage people to stay away from foods with a lot of fiber. You know, so you don't want to have like a big salad the day before necessarily, or, you know, any food that, you know, maybe will go through your system a little too quick, because our stomachs get a little nervous sometimes before a marathon as well. And you don't want to be stuck in the porta potty before your race and during the race. So, you know, still eating some good quality foods, but maybe stay away from that fiber.
Okay, perfect. Great. So with that, let's talk about the importance of sleep. Why is sleep so much more important during the taper phase?
Right. So it's just all about recovery, right? So you know, you are tired and your body needs to have that reserve. And people, because they're not running as much, sometimes they don't feel as tired. So they may think, you know what, I don't have to get up early tomorrow morning to do a run because, you know, I don't have to this week. So I'm just going to stay up late and I'm going to watch TV and, you know, I'm going to go out with friends and I'm going to stay up late. Well, that's the worst thing you can do, right? Stay on a routine, stay on a schedule, make sure that you're very well rested going into that marathon. Most of us, when we're going to a race for the day or two before, we're starting to get nervous, we're anxious, we don't sleep as well. So you may, you know, that might be a difficult time. And, you know, as long as you going into it the few days before, you're getting good sleep, you'll be fine. Don't worry about the night before a marathon. Nobody sleeps well. You'll be good, right? But if you've gone into that well rested going into that, you'll be fine. So it's just all about recovery.
Yes, recovery is so, so important. And obviously, we're not supposed to substitute those nights that we have skipped going out and suddenly start taking on that whole new routine, use that time to rest. That's better. So let's talk about phantom pains. What are they? Whom do they happen to? And what do we do with them?
Right. So this is really common that people, you know, in that last couple of weeks before a marathon, they'll all of a sudden think, oh, wow, my knee's really hurting. My ankle hurts. What is going on? I'm injured. Oh, no, I'm not going to be able to run my marathon. It just goes completely off the rails mentally. And you start freaking out. And it happens to so many people. And, you know, I'm not saying it's never an injury. It's never a problem. But most often it's nothing. It's something that, you know, maybe your body just through that recovery process, it starts feeling a little different. And you go out for your run and, you know, your foot starts hurting a little bit. And you're like, huh, that's never happened before. The best thing you can do is, you know, relax, but also, you know, maybe back off a little bit. Maybe if, you know, you're going out for an easy 6 mile run that last week and your foot starts hurting, you know what? Why don't you just walk at home and just, you know, rest for the rest of the day? It's not going to, like, you're not going to lose any fitness. It's all good. Just to, you know, make sure that nothing is going on. If you have a coach, you're probably going to be well off because you can talk to your coach about it. You can say, hey, listen, this is what I felt today. Like, what should I do about it? And usually the coach will say, you know what, you're probably fine, but let's, you know, take it easy for the rest of the day. Maybe, you know, have a warm bath or, you know, or if you're, you know, your quad starts hurting. Well, how about doing some foam rolling today? Let's see if we can work that out a little bit. But it's usually a phantom pain. It's usually something, and nobody really knows why this happens to people. It's just something that's really common, especially during the taper. And people really tend to freak out.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that being a good reason to freak out, right? If suddenly something starts hurting and then it's just in your mind. So with that, what can runners do to maintain a mental focus and the mental confidence during their taper? Because, you know, when you're going from running 20 miles on a weekend to suddenly you're only running 8, and then you have that overbearing thought of, okay, there's 26.2 miles I have to run. How do they best manage that to stay mentally in a good place?
Right. So that's really common as well. We start thinking, did I do enough? Am I really ready for this challenge? Can I do this? I don't care. I can't do this. Oh no, I'm freaking out. So, you know, I usually tell people to maybe look back on their running. Maybe they've logged their running somewhere. Like if I'm coaching them and we've had like a spreadsheet that they've had their workouts in, and go back and look at that and see all those quality workouts you did. Look at all those things that you did that helped you. Think about, you know, when you had, you know, good fueling during a certain long run, but that worked out really well. I'm going to do that on race day. Come up with a race plan. I think that really helps in that last week, you know, so that you're going into your race with all it planned out. And a race plan could include things even 2 or 3 days before, you know, like I'm going to pack my suitcase on this day. I'm going to make sure that I've gone to my running store and picked up all the gels that I need for my race. I'm going to, you know, pick out my outfit, have my shoes ready, you know, and even 2 or 3 days before. And then, you know, for the race itself, let's come up with a great plan for that morning. You know, I'm going to have this for breakfast. You know, if you're traveling, sometimes you can even bring something with you, you know, like you can bring some oatmeal with you to make in your hotel room, that type of thing. So this planning and coming up with a plan, not only for the logistical things, but the pacing and mental preparation can really calm you to be ready to go into the week. And I'm a planner, so that really helps me to really write everything down, you know, and have everything planned out. And that makes me calm down. So that helps most people. I would say start thinking, you know, how you're going to feel that day and how to cope with when you start feeling, you know, maybe some negative feelings during the race or your confidence is lagging, because that happens to everybody. That happens to, you know, us mere mortals or recreational runners. It also happens to professionals when they're running a race. They have those dark moments where they think, I can't do this. I can't hold this pace. How are you going to deal with that? Let's prepare yourself for that. Let's start thinking about, when I start feeling badly, what am I going to do? Maybe you came up with a mantra that helps you. I am strong. I can do this, that type of thing. You know, maybe you're planning to, you know, when I start feeling badly, I'm going to take some more sugar. I'm going to take another gel. I'm going to let fuel my brain and it's going to feel better. So by planning all this out in that week before, it should calm you down, right? Looking at the training you've done, look at your preparation, planning it out, being ready to go, you know. And if you're someone that does well with, you know, meditation, breathing, that type of thing, do that last week. That's not going to hurt, right? If you can go to, I go to a restorative yoga class that I really like on Fridays usually. And it's really not a strenuous yoga. It's really just laying down and breathing sometimes, and it is really restorative. So if you can have that, something like that on that last week, that could be helpful as well. You know, just breathing and relaxing.
That's awesome. Thank you for that. Yeah. And yeah, so mental tips. Do you have any other additional tips that could make or break a taper for runners?
So another part of tapering and the benefits of tapering is that your immune system is probably depleted from all this hard training. A lot of people, you know, will get sick and that kind of thing. So, you know, by tapering, you're going to let that immune system really restore itself as well. And, you know, that's really important because you don't want to get sick right before your race. That's really important that you're taking care of yourself.
So, okay, perfect. So perhaps you can share your favorite mantra with our runners.
Right. So, you know, it's going to be very individual for what works for you and what motivates you. For me, I had a race when my goal was to get a Boston qualifying time. And it was a big goal for me. And I had worked really hard. And I had actually hired a coach to coach me for that training cycle. And I felt really ready to go. But one of the things that I had found in my previous marathons when I wasn't able to achieve that goal and I got so close was that I just gave up and I slowed down. And because your body is going to tell you, stop, you can't do this. So, and I always regretted that at the end of a race. So for me, I wrote on my hand, I wrote no regrets. And for me, that was the ultimate goal. So when I started feeling, you know, my confidence was lagging during the race itself, I would just look down at my hand and I, how do you want to feel at the end of this race? How do you, you know, you don't want to have to do this again. Like that's part of it too, right? You've worked so hard and you want to reach your goal. So whatever, you know, motivates you. For me, that's what it was. No regrets. I want to walk away from this knowing that I did everything I could. For other people, it might be, you know, I am strong. I am brave. I can do this. Some people talk about talking in a third person where like you're talking to yourself. So for me, you know, Nicole, you can do this. Nicole, you're strong. By putting yourself outside of yourself, sometimes it's like someone's cheering you on and that could be helpful as well. So whatever works for you, everyone's going to have a different mantra that works for them.
I love it. Reminds me to put that on my notes and on my list of things to pack. Bring a Sharpie.
There you go. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Nicole. And then for our listeners that want to reach out to you and maybe be coached by you, how can they best do that?
Right. So we have a website, of course. It's marathontrainingacademy.com. There's also a podcast if you're interested in listening and hearing more about marathon training from Trevor and Angie Spencer, your Marathon Training Academy podcast. You can find it wherever your podcasts are. And if you go to our website, we have a coaching section there, and you can sign up for a free consultation call with me. And I will, you know, you pick us on my schedule, you pick a time that works for you, and I will talk to you about your goals and how coaching can help you.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure.
Thank you, Nicole, for speaking with us. I really appreciate your time, and I learned a lot. So that was great. Thank you. And we have information in our show notes that's pertinent to our podcast and this episode. So, you know, you can find those in the show notes.
And we're going to go eat dinner. So with that,
I'm going to reveal you guys to you guys. I'm going to reveal to you guys what we're going to be talking about next week. Next week, we're going to have another awesome interview with another running coach. And she is a master's running coach that at age 49 managed to run a sub-3 marathon after having run competitively for 20 years and more. So super exciting. Tune back in. Thank you for listening. And with that,
have a good week of running.
For tuning in. For more information and marathon running news, please head to www.marathonrunningpodcast.com, and we'll be back next week.